Good morning, church family. Good morning. Yes, that's what I love to hear, the sound of your voices. If you do not have a Bible, you can look underneath your seats. There's a Bible for you, and you are welcome to take that home if you need a Bible at home. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we'll be in verse 32 through 37 together. So for those of you in person today, we're so glad to have you joining us in the room. And to those of you who are online this morning, we're also glad to have you tuning in. Today's message is a unique standalone message that I believe will be very important in setting the tone for something we'll be continuously discussing over the next 2 months and for your lifelong spiritual formation. Now, years ago, there was a pop hit sung by the well-known Meghan Trainor. And in her hit song, she sings the lyrics, "I can't help loving myself, and I don't need nobody else. If I was you, I'd want to be me too." Now, the song continues with lyrics that complement this very thought. And to begin today's talk, I want to set the premise with a clear, concise, and perhaps obvious statement. Our society is comprised of a lot of individuals obsessed with themselves. How do I know this? Well, let me ask you just a few questions. When you take a group picture and go to look at it afterward, who's the first person you look for? When someone is trying to make a deal with you, the first question you ask is, "What's in it for me?" When you warm up your vocal cords for a live performance, what's your first warm-up? Me, 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 me. Now, obviously, that last one is meant to be a bit tongue-in-cheek, but you get the point. The love of self is at an all-time high, and learning this is as easy as joining Facebook. And no, this is not a message about Mark Zuckerberg or the metaverse, but America has recently been understood to be facing what some researchers are calling a narcissism epidemic. Narcissism epidemic. And no, this has nothing to do with what generation you were born in. Old people see younger people as whining children, right? But younger people find older people to be overly adamant about their personal preferences. So don't make this part of the sermon anything about a certain age group. It's also not a new thing. Self-obsession existed all the way back to the days of Jesus. It's why Jesus was so intentional in calling people to a different way of life, the path of self-denial, saying, "Whoever wants to save one's life will lose it." And the overall point is people of different ages, backgrounds, and personalities all across America are obsessed with numero uno. They tend to think the entire world revolves around them. It's about what serves and benefits me in the end. It's about what I want. And this self-love ideology has ingrained in us a sinful bent toward consumerism. Now, consumerism is about filling my life with preferred and pleasurable things, especially in the material sense. It is fueled by self-centeredness, a deep well of dissatisfaction, and the need for immediate gratification. And so we fill our calendars, our homes, and our Amazon wish list with things that we think will give us pleasure and contentment. And that's because we think personal happiness is found in what we can attain for ourselves. But what you find is that the average American has more than they could ever want, and they are still left with no joy, no peace, and no ultimate satisfaction. It's true. Studies show that the average American home has over 300,000 items. It's also shown that Americans spend about $1.2 trillion a year on non-essential items. More than that, one out of every four houses with two-car garages keeps so much stuff in it that they can't even fit one car, in the garage. We keep buying and we keep filling our calendars and making our shopping lists and seeking out things that we think will please and satisfy us. And at the same time, we live in one of the most depressed, lonely, and hopeless generations in history. How could this be? Here's why that is. Because life is not found in gain. Life is not found in gain, especially selfish gain. Entitlement and self-centeredness have led us to indulging ourselves with all kinds of things, but stuffing our faces and filling our homes and loading our schedules with whatever we think will bring us joy and peace and contentment never seems to work. Story after story, scripture after scripture, the principle is proven true. Life is not found in an abundance of possessions. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. It does not profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. So where exactly am I going with this? Church, fulfillment, satisfaction, and contentment are not found in anything that we get, but in what we give. Scripture teaches that joy and self-encouragement are what we find when we practice deep generosity. And this kind of generosity requires that we look outside of ourselves to see God and to see others. And when we are constantly focused on ourselves and our personal satisfaction, we wander hopelessly. But when we see the smile on someone's face, after we have had the opportunity to bless them, or when we are able to be a part of some gift and mission much bigger than ourselves, it's an incredible encouragement to our own soul. The writer of Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 25. He says, "One gives freely and yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered." Self-obsessed people are focused on fighting to get what they want and fighting to keep what they have. They are obsessed with indulging themselves, and they hold everything with a closed, tight fist. And that is exactly what Scripture warns against. Because closed fist can't give anything, but neither can they receive. Here's what the scripture is teaching us today. When we open our hands, God opens his hands. When we open our hands, God opens his hands. In other words, when we look beyond our own pleasure and satisfaction and look for ways to bless and minister to God and to others, to demonstrate a life of generosity, God blesses us. He encourages us. He gives back to us in many different ways. Opening our hands is a way of believing that God can do more with what I have than I can. And we do that and faith. And God sees and he honors us in that. Someone who understood this principle and practiced great generosity was someone by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas never had the desire to be the front and center guy. We only read about Barnabas a few times in Scripture. He's what you might call a person of the fine print. And many of us know Barnabas was an encourager, right? And you probably heard many sermons about being an encouragement to others based off of stories about Barnabas. In the early days of the church, Barnabas is joining himself in something, a mission, a movement much bigger than himself. This is from Acts chapter 4, where you had your Bibles open to. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 32 and read to verse 37. This is what the scripture says. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The early church was deeply marked by generosity. We see them sharing what each one has with their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's because they understood that everything they had came from God. Many were selling their property and being generous toward the church because they wanted to invest in the early church. And more than that, they wanted to invest in the church's mission. But Luke, our author and travel journalist, he goes on to make note concerning Barnabas. Barnabas believed in faith that his generosity could help and carrying the mission of God further. Barnabas went on to actually serve the mission of God in a great way, being commissioned with Paul to plant churches, having been present when the disciples were first called Christians. Could you imagine being there the first time you heard the word Christians? And at the Jerusalem Council, when Gentiles were welcomed into the family of faith in Acts 15, Barnabas is there. But it all started with this humble encouragement that Barnabas gave through generosity, where he invested his wealth, his treasure, into what would become the greatest movement on planet Earth, the Church of Jesus Christ. No one knew at that time, not even Barnabas, what the church would become. But the greatest movement on planet Earth, a part of its starting was because of Barnabas's deep generosity. Brothers, sisters, first-time guests, regular attenders, lean in and hear me. When we practice generosity, we partner with God on his greater mission. In other words, his kingdom comes when his people give. His kingdom comes when his people give. our generosity and our giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure makes a much bigger impact and reaches much farther than we could ever even imagine. We experience the fullness of love, joy, and peace. And when we give faithfully and when we give sacrificially, we make space for others to experience that same love, joy, and peace as well. In our giving, God gets all the glory and we get all the joy. Those who give receive from the Lord. That's what Proverbs 11 teaches. Those who give receive from the Lord, and those who bless are blessed by the Lord. And I don't even mean in a material or financial way. And considering this, our application today is very clear, and it is very, very, very significant. Online audience, make sure you're tuning in. There's nothing quite like the Church of Jesus Christ. If I could specify what I mean by that, there's nothing quite like the local Church of Jesus Christ, the gathered family living with God on mission together. The local church is in some way the incarnate Christ here on earth, or what Paul calls his body. Now, obviously, this is metaphorical for the most part, but still, in a sense, we are the very hands and feet of Jesus, ministering to one another and ministering to the greater Mariches community. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen someone come alive in the life of Jesus? Their face lights up as they realize that Christ has provided healing for their brokenness. They find joy in Christ's forgiveness. They sing and dance and laugh and shed happy tears. And their entire life is different now because of the new hope that they've been given in Christ. And the joy of that newfound child of God spreads to our own soul. We smile and we rejoice and we praise God. It's quite a moment. But even better than observing a complete stranger come alive in Christ is when we were able to be a part of it. It's when we were the person beside them in church who got to lay our hands on their shoulders and pray with them. It's when we were able to provide the space where they heard God speak to them for the very first time. It's when we were able to cover the price of the resource that uniquely resonated with them while reading at home alone in their bedroom. Sometimes God opens a door for you to walk up to a stranger and lead them to Jesus. But sometimes God opens a door for you to invest in a greater communal mission where you will get to partner alongside your brothers and sisters to see various individuals come to Christ. That is why I'm so excited to introduce to you the All is Bright Christmas offering of 2021. The All is Bright Christmas offering is a call to sacrificial giving with a goal of $85,000 for three ministry initiatives. And the first is local missions, evangelism, and outreach. Second is two large family-focused community events in the spring and fall of 2022. And third is our benevolence and biblical counseling, as well as other ministry initiatives. Now, over this next year, God is inviting our church to bring people to Jesus by bringing Jesus to people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, Paul writes, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, All Is Bright reminds us that Jesus shines his light on us, that he shines his light in us, and that he shines his light through us. Jesus is inviting and calling us to shine light in a dark world. This is for the church, but more than that, this is for you. This is for you. This bold initiative requires the investment of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And we want to see every dark space lit up with the life and light of Christ. Specifically, we want to see his love, his joy, his peace, and his goodness displayed and demonstrated throughout the greater Mariches community. We have been designed and created with the capacity for impact. Let me say that again. We have been designed and created with the capacity to impact. We are not consumers, we are contributors. We give, we share, we participate, we bring, we show up and show out with the love of Jesus. We shine and we shine bright. Now, over the next few weeks, you'll get to hear a little bit more about what specific ministry initiatives you'll be giving to. But to briefly explain each one, first is local missions, evangelism, and outreach. So this covers two things. Servant evangelism. We slowed down a bit on servant evangelism because of the 33 Touch program that was funded by last year's Christmas offering. But we are bringing it back this year. And then second within that is the postcard and publicity ministry. Many of you would not be in this room had it not been for a postcard that caught your attention. A second is two large family-focused community events. We want to see families in this community filled with the love, joy, peace, and goodness of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we've done this in the past is through large community celebrations, such as our Easter block party. And after a couple of years of being separated, we feel like it is time to celebrate again. And this time we are expanding. The All Is Bright Christmas offering will completely fund two large community events designed for the entire family next year. And the first event will take place in the spring, right before Easter. It'll be filled with blow-ups and carnival games and plenty of cotton candy. And then the second event will take place in the fall and involves everything from face painting to a petting zoo and apple cider. Everybody loves apple cider, right?
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. But each of these events provides an opportunity to connect with local businesses and with the families in our community. That's the most important part, right? Now, these fun-packed events make way for our church to touch the lives of many and for them to remember South Bay Bible Church for its love and for its joy. And then third, our benevolence and biblical counseling. The benevolence ministry has helped many of us in the room and many of us that are not in this room, and has allowed us to come alongside people in distress to help them through financial difficulty, to support them after a death in the family, or to cover the cost of biblical counseling. Many lives have been changed through the work and the ministry of our biblical counseling. Person after person, story after story, changed through the knowledge of God's word and the power of God's Spirit. Your giving makes the space for this. Your giving pays for every resource that is given out through biblical counseling. We have also started planning for two in-person and online one-day biblical counseling conferences, where we will invite unique speakers to address and discuss important topics that will make a direct impact on the people inside and outside of our local church. More than anything, our goal in this is to offer hope and peace for everyone in Jesus Christ. And the best thing about it is that you get to be a part of helping that happen. All of this to say, I am so excited for what God has in store and how He will use us this year to build His kingdom in our local community. To see Mariches and Manorville and Eastport and Remsenburg and West Hampton and Mastic Shirley as it is in heaven. That is our prayer. That is our great desire. And so we have from right now until January 31st to give toward this special offering. I want to encourage you to step out in faith with your best gift this year. I believe that God will provide more than enough for you to practice extraordinary generosity for this grand mission. This is an incredible opportunity to partner with God and to see His kingdom come through His people's giving. Also, I am so excited to tell you that we have had someone graciously offer matching funds for up to half of this year's goal. And that means that every dollar that you give doubles. Now, how incredible is that? It's important to note that this is not your regular tithes, right? If you stop tithing to give to this offering, that's a lose-lose for all of us, right? We still have to pay bills around here. But how do we then give to this All This Bright Christmas offering? Well, if you're watching online, you can give through our website's giving webpage, and be sure to specify your funds to go toward the Christmas offering. If you're in this room, you can grab one of the Christmas offering giving envelopes that are right in front of you, in the seats in front of you. It's the smaller envelope, and you can drop that envelope in the offering basket today if you so choose to give towards this offering today. But we're looking forward to an incredible, absolutely incredible ministry year together. Give and be a part of what God's going to do in and through this local church. There is no greater investment that you're going to make in your life than to give to God's great mission that He has assigned to His church. Let's pray. Father, we just bless You and honor You, God, for Your goodness and Your faithfulness, Lord. Thank You for how You just so richly provide for us. Lord, thank You for Your continued blessing over us in so many different ways. God, I just pray that, Lord, You would just remind us of how, Lord, Your mission is served through Your people's generosity. That You would inspire us with the thought that Your kingdom comes when Your people give. Lord, just like Barnabas, who invested in the early church, who invested in the early church's mission, Lord, we want to be like Barnabas. All of us, everyone in this room, including myself, to practice extraordinary generosity towards an even greater mission. Lord, we're believing for a great ministry year in 2022. But Lord, we know that that can't happen unless we give in a faithful and sacrificial way. As Augustine said, without God, you can't. But without You, God won't. So, Lord, would You just put it on our heart, Lord, to practice incredible generosity today, inspired and founded and rooted in, Lord, Your incredible generosity. For Jesus Christ, who was rich, made Himself poor, that we in Him might become rich. That is where generosity starts, remembering the gospel, remembering what Christ has done for us. And Lord, in gratitude and in thanks, Lord, we give back so graciously what You have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So with that said, we are going to move into our time of worship through giving and generosity. This is very much a part of our worship. This is not a break from our worship. In this, we practice our tithes, but we also practice our offering. If you believe the Lord for the first time today, you can check that off on the back of your communication card, and we'd love to send you some resources that tell you a little bit about South Bay. About growing your relationship with the Lord. And so our ushers can go ahead and receive our offering at this time. And you can put your tithes in there, your communication card, as well as any gifts you'd like to make towards this year's Christmas offering today. If you're online, there's a number on the bottom of your screen that you could text, and that'll take you to a giving link where you can give there. Amen. Well, why don't we stand as we have our benediction? So glad that each of you were able to join us in the room today. I'm so glad for those of you who are watching online. Let's just put our hands out in a posture of receiving from the Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are perfect, Lord, and you are with us, Lord. Thank you for your very dear presence, God. Lord, thank you for this church. Men and women and children gathered in your name. So Lord, for each person under the sound of my voice, I pray that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would shine your face on them. Lord, that you would give them your peace. So now in the knowledge of your word and in the power of your spirit, send us out and bring us back together at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go in peace.
Thank you, Pastor.